Our guests are welcome. If you're worshiping in person, you can head to our kiosk and get a connection card. This is what it looks like. It's got a green back like that. And we'd like to have you fill that out so we can get back to you and get in contact with you. Giving options, you can give in the offering box that is in the kiosk, or you can mail it in. You can also go to our website or give right through our church app, which is the Church Center app. Next week, Friday, July 15th is our all-church prayer at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, July 17th, we're having our special speaker, Morton Bustard, come in. So that's one of the things we have coming up, not much, but now we're going to pray for our service and that God would have his way. One thing I've noticed when camp or different big events are going on, there's an excuse to not show up. So when people do show up, typically they're showing up and they can have an expectation because you have a reason to not be here. So if you came here, it's because you're committed that something is going to happen tonight, that God's going to have a word. And I believe God has given Benjamin a word tonight. So if you would pray for our service and also those who are sick, I'm sure we all know the list. We can continue to pray for Sister Thompson and for Sister Carpenter and for those who have been afflicted by different sicknesses and illnesses. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for the service and pray for them. Jesus, Lord God, touch those who are sick amongst us, Lord God. Touch our church community, Lord God. Touch those who have been hurt, Lord God, who have had things attack their bodies, Lord God, that you would be able to help them in the healing process, Lord, that you would be able to bring their health back to them, Lord God. And touch Brother Benjamin, Lord God, as he speaks your word tonight, Lord God. Touch our congregation, Lord God, those online and those here, Lord, that they would be able to hear what you have to say, Lord God, that any distractions would be taken out, Lord God, and that we would be able to have our music, help us to connect with you, Lord God, so that we can receive the word that you have for us today, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated if you want to. Hallelujah. Center of my joy, Jesus. the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when the nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are laughter, the shadows of my being. When I'm all why I find pleasure in the simple things of life. You're the music in the meadows and the streets. The voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finish of my heart.
So true. Jesus should be the center of our joy. Amen. You can be seated tonight. As Bryce said, those that are here tonight are here with a purpose and for a reason. And I thank you for coming here tonight. I know many are at camp. And remember to keep them in prayer. They'll be traveling back this weekend. But I do believe God has given me a specific word. And I want to thank Brother Powell and the music team. There were some specific songs I wanted sung tonight just to flow along with my message. I did not actually reach out to him directly to say those songs, but he chose different songs, but songs that were right on point with what I feel that God has given me to speak about tonight. So I'm so thankful for that and thankful for the Holy Ghost and how, although we can be in different places, we can still always, as long as we're sensitive, listen to Jesus and he connects us all together. Amen. Back. Well, let me go here first. On July 17th, that's two Sundays from now, Brother Buster will be coming. And I believe God is bringing him to this church on that Sunday service with a prophetic word. And I said that to say this. Back on September 5th, I preached a message about nets that won't break. Many of you were here for that message. If you weren't, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's on the church website. But that message, coupled with this message, I believe will tie into what God has given Brother Buster that he'll be bringing here on the 17th. And I also want to encourage all of our men on that evening, July 17th, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., the men will be meeting at Pastor Roy's house for a time of teaching. I believe it's imperative that if you're able to make it, that you make it. If you have your Bibles, if you turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Understand, there's not a person here that Satan hasn't desired to have. Because he sees the impact that you can make in your world if you let Jesus out. And here we see that Satan wanted to sift Simon. But verse 32 it says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I want that to sit in the back of your mind here. Here God prayed for Simon. And Simon was one of the apostles, the inner circle, the disciples. But yet Jesus says, hey, when thou art converted, I'll pray your faith doesn't fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. That could have been offensive. Most of us would have been, what? You mean I'm not converted, God? You mean I'm not that important? I've sold everything. Surely I have faith. Or you could take it like an encouragement. Hey, God prayed for me. God interceded on my behalf. I'm valuable to Jesus. See, your perception matters and how you perceive life. So with that thought, I want to thank our pastor, although I know he's not here, and our leadership team because they're up at camp. But I want to thank them for the trust that they've invested in me to stand before you tonight. And also I want to thank the Janesville launch team, Brother and Sister Kasky and Brother and Sister Millen. Thank you for helping in Janesville. God is doing awesome things, and I appreciate their service. And see, now I said that to say this. You can say, well, he didn't recognize me. Or you can say, thank God I'm part of an awesome body. You see the parallel I'm trying to draw here? We have the ability to shape our outcome based on our perception. You know, a lot of times Hebrews chapter 11 is referred to the halls of faith. And Hebrews 11:1 gives us a reference of what faith is. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe everyone here has hope. And there's many things we may be hoping for that we haven't yet seen. But using that faith that God has put within you as a launching platform, say, I might not see where the answer is coming from. I might not know. I might not understand. But I have faith in what I have yet to see because I know the God who created all things. And I'm taking my time tonight because tonight's going to be a little bit more of a Bible study. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to shout or scream because, you know, most of you that have heard me preach know I get quite excited when I preach. And, you know, I grew up in Pentecost and I grew up in camp meetings and whatnot. And I figure, you know, a good preacher just should be up there acting like they're being, you know, fighting a swarm of bees. It's okay to laugh. Thank you. And a lot of times I get excited, but tonight's going to be more of a Bible study. Just a simple lesson on faith. And I'm going to be talking about growing your faith or growing in faith, growing our faith. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. In verse 17 it says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And a lot of us look at that scripture and we create, you know, we relate that to a new start. You know, we get baptized, we repent of our sins, we get baptized, we get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're new, we get a new start. But that's, if you look this up in the Greek, that word new creature comes from the Greek word specio, which means completely new, it's not to be remade, but to be completely born anew. It's not a change from what I am per se, but a completely new creature, completely something completely different from the original. I'm not just changed from what I was. I've been reshapen, reformed. I'm a new species, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So with that being said, I want to talk to you about the seven aspects of faith. Now, there's probably more things than seven that you could find in the Bible, but these are the seven that I want to touch on and study. And I'm kind of laying them out in a ladder, if you will, on faith. And all of us are on a journey of faith between wherever we are when we encountered Jesus, when we had that, if you will, Damascus experience. The Bible says no man can come unless God first draw him. And I thank you for those that are praying. I feel my help coming. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, whenever you had your Damascus experience where you interacted and you had that experience with Jesus, which is awesome. But understand there's a journey between that point and heaven. And so some of the aspects of that ladder of faith Jesus referenced, we see one of the first ones. We see this reference three different times in the gospel where Jesus rebuked his disciples for having no faith. So the first one on that ladder is simply no faith. I hope nobody here falls under that category. But understand, if you do, be in good company. Even the disciples fell under that category for a season of no faith. You know, we see this even when they were on the boat and that Jesus compelled them to go to the other side and the storm's raging and they you know, he's sleeping in the boat and they're all terrified. God, don't you care? At least we perish. I mean, they should have, if you think about it, they should have had hope. Jesus is in the boat. Boat's not going down. Jesus was with them in the storm. Now, with that being said, Jesus is with you. Whatever storm you're going through, so don't let us be guilty of the same thing, saying, God, don't you care? At least I perish. The waves are going. Come on, God, don't you see? God was right there with them. And he said they're going to the other side. They had promise. And God rebuked them for having no faith. Number two is little faith. Again, in the Gospels, when Jesus referring and rebuking the disciples, he rebuked, oh, ye of little faith. It's a sad rebuke, but again, be in good company if this is you, because the disciples were here too. Getting on to point number three, I want to talk about a measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, though through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, if everyone has a measure of faith, you can say, well, then how'd you have these first two with little faith and no faith? It's simple. If you don't follow God in faith, you're going to digress. The oil's going to run dry. You're going to backslide, if you will, and you're going to go from a place of where you had a measure of faith to a little faith to no faith. And that's why you have to stir up the gift that is within you. You have to build upon the faith that God has placed within you, or you will come to a place of little faith. And unfortunately, there is those that get to a place of no faith. And I believe that God wants us all to grow beyond here, but it's a simple fact of God doesn't force us to be something we don't want to be. The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. And if any man will, God wants everyone to be saved. But he said, if any man will, let him, he's going to open the door. And then Jesus will come in and sup with him. God doesn't come there and kick in the door and say, I'm here, time to work. It's not how it works with God. But he stands there and he offers it to whomsoever will, let them come and drink of the waters of life. So recapping, we have those with no faith, those with little faith, and those that have been given a measure of faith. Then going on to number four, there's the gift of faith. This is found in 1 Corinthians 12:9 when it shares about the different gifts of the Spirit and different fruit of the Spirit. It talks about the gift of faith. There are those that have been given the gift of faith. I encourage you to be here in July 17th when Brother Buster is here. He'll be operating in the gift of faith among many of the other gifts of God. Why? Because this is something that God gives to any person that has the Spirit that will be sensitive. They can then go to the gift of faith. And number five, one of my favorite ones, is strong in faith. Now, the Bible refers to Abraham as being a man that was strong in faith. In Romans 4:19-21, it tells us of this threefold cord of this strong faith. We can pick it up in verse 19 of Romans 4, and it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So let's just take some time and break that down. So here's a 100-year-old man with a 90-year-old lady. I know it's not polite to talk about ladies' age, but she was 90 years old. And I don't know, I get tired enough in my 30s with kids. God have mercy if I was 100 and my wife was 90 and we had a little one to raise. There's a reason why older people don't have kids. And if God graces you to live to 90 and 100, that's awesome. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. And, you know, some people say it's not easy getting old. And I tell them, you know what, it isn't easy getting old. I understand you. I'm right there with you. But at the same time, it's a privilege. Because not all of us are promised that opportunity to grow old. None of us are promised tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, when I was laying on my deathbed with my brain tumor and God touched me, I remember thinking, you know, God, I know it's not easy getting old, but I'd sure like the chance to try. And I'm just some of you with young kids, I mean, you go outside, they want to throw the ball, they want to kick the ball, they want to run up here, they want to go up the slide, they want to go down the slide. Yeah, I mean, they just want to go, 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 go. And when you're tired, go, 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 go. And God have mercy, Abraham, 100 years old, poor Sarah, 90 years old. And child labor is not easy. I had the privilege to be there for all the births of my children in it. And God gives you women incredible strength. And he moves through you in supernatural ways. But all the ladies that have had kids at 90 years old, I just want you to put yourself there for just a minute and understand where Abraham was. But he considered not his own body. He didn't consider the circumstances of life. He didn't consider, if you will, and maybe even a better way of putting this is not that he didn't consider it. He didn't look at it as a hindrance. He didn't look at it as an obstacle, saying, well, God, you know we're 190. You know, God, if you would have did this 20 years ago, maybe this would have been a little. He didn't look at that because he said, if God promised it, he's going to give me the strength to see it to pass. And he didn't consider his own body nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You can hear a lot of awesome things preached behind the pulpit, and you can shout about them. And you know, the more people we have in the house, you know, sometimes it's contagious. Woohoo, you know, that's awesome. I'm excited. God's going to transform Dane County. And we can get excited. But then we can sometimes go away and go, is God really going to do that? And this is why I caution you when Brother Buster's here, he's going to say some things prophetically that may stagger you at initial sound. Wow, that's awesome. But then we can go away and the enemy can go, is God really? Can God really do that? Can a 90-year-old lady really have a baby? Yes, in fact, she can. And whatever you're going through, whatever the challenge of your situation or the blessing of your opportunity, don't stagger. Don't go, God, are you really going to come through? Yeah, he is. Not in my time. Not in your time. But in his perfect time. In verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform it. So this threefold cord, he considered not his own life, the circumstances of his life and Sarah's life. He staggered not at the promise of God. And he was fully persuaded. He bought it. He's like, if God's going to do it, he's going to do it. I believe it. He stood behind it. He didn't just go stand afar off and go, I wonder what's going to happen. He made himself ready. I believe he started getting, you know, a bassinet ready and maybe some toys together and whatever it may be. He was preparing because he believed that God was faithful that promised. And I want to challenge some of you tonight. God wants you to be strong in faith. And there are some things that have been promised in your walk with God. And you're wondering, God, have you forgot? I'm only getting older. This is only seeming less possible. But God knows exactly where you're at. And you're right where he needs you to be to get the glory. Don't stagger. Don't wonder. Don't question. But boldly proclaim, hey, you know what? God said it. He's going to do it. Amen, somebody. Feel the Holy Ghost trying to speak to somebody. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what circumstance says. Doesn't matter what's going on. I understand we live in a wicked and sinful world. I understand things aren't convenient. You know, we can look at every excuse in the book to say why now is the wrong season. But I'm here to tell you, now is the perfect season for God to do a miracle. Now is the perfect opportunity for God to step into your situation and show himself strong. Why? Because his book says he will. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's as close as a mention of his name. Jesus, we sang it tonight, you're a chain breaker. Jesus, you're where I find my hope. God, when I was in prison, you were there, Jesus. Whatever you're feeling bound by or hindered by, what made Abraham the ability to have this strong faith, don't worry about the how. Understand, let me pose this question. And it's going to be redundant. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to kind of ask it and then keep moving on. But do you really believe God created the world? Well, I do. And you probably wouldn't be here if you didn't do that. And do you really believe God wants you saved? And again, I do. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that either. And do you really believe that God cares about everybody in this world? And I do, and I believe you do too. And so my question to you is, why are you worried about your situation? And now I'm not saying throw wisdom to the wind and get all wild and crazy and say I can spend money and do whatever I want and act crazy and you know I can you know go out and pick up snakes and see if God will protect me. That's foolish faith, folks. But I'm telling you to have strong faith. I'm not asking you to go out and tempt God. But I'm asking you to go out believing God that when he spoke that in your life, that you're going to see that miracle, that you're going to see that promise. Folks, my wife was never supposed to have kids, but God spoke into us, hey, you're going to deliver a baby. And now by God's grace, we have two with the Lord and two here. Come on, somebody. There was a time in my life when I said, God, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where. And I'll tell you what, it seemed even harder when we lost our twins because it's like, well, God, we moved one step closer. You gave us kids and now where are they? But I'm going to tell you something. There was no greater miracle that God ever did. And my wife will attest to the same. But there was no greater miracle that God ever did in our marriage and ministry than when we lost our twins. You say, well, why do you say that? Because God was in it. We were never supposed to have kids. Doctor said my wife would never have kids. For those of you that don't know, she went through menopause in her teenage years. Her body shut down. She stopped her cycle for over 3 years. There was no eggs being dropped. She was done. I mean, done. There was no babies coming from her. But God reached into the, if you will, if you say the deadness of her womb, the closeness of her womb. And God reached down and touched, and two little beautiful baby twins were formed. And then we miscarried them on our anniversary. And you can look at it, well, why would God let that? I'll tell you why. Because we've been able to minister to countless of other people. And the Bible says, unless your fruit remains. So I get to give God a hard time and say, hey, God, you know what? You said that, but I already got some fruit there. I got two beautiful children that I'm looking forward to see one day. So I'm already living the promise. I got fruit there. And I got more than I want to see get there by God's grace of his mercy and truth. I'm going to raise these next two to see him in Jesus' name. Parents, I was thinking about the old adage, you know, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Kids are the best, most beautiful blessing, but they can grow your faith like none other. And I love mine, all four of them. They're beautiful and they're dear to me. And so with that being said, no matter where you're at in this journey, whether you're still at the promise or whether you're at the conception or where you feel you're at the deadness or whether, guess what, then there was another step a few years after our twins were gone. God gave us Isaiah. And then we kind of thought we were done. Kind of we're believing for done, but God said, no, there's going to be one more. You're going to have a girl. And we said, okay, God. So we tried again, and then guess what? Mariah showed up. And now we're done. And I'm saying that possibly unless God steps in, we're done. And both me and my wife are in total agreement. But you know what? I'm saying that with a grain of salt because I want to be careful. And yet you never tell God you won't. So I'm not saying, and video reference, I'm not saying I won't, God. I'm just saying I'm done right now. We had what you said, and bless God, four is enough. I'm warning you, be careful with what you say. You tell God, I'll never do that. I'll tell you what, there was a time in my life when I said, you know, God, I'll do anything but that. And you know what, I found myself doing that more times than I can count. And one of the last things I ever expected to be was a pastor. I didn't mind ministering, didn't mind preaching the gospel. But you know what? Now God called me to go start a church, and he gave us an awesome team to work with. And I'm so thankful that God heard that prayer, because I'll tell you what, I would really be struggling in my strong faith if I had to go alone. So I thank God for a team. He saw that, and he sees where you're at. I want you to understand, I'm not just talking to fill time. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. He sees every hair on your head, those that you have and those that might be missing. He knows where they're all at. There's no amount of detail to your life's journey that he's overlooked. Well, part of my prayer time every day is I say, God, I'm submitted to your will, and thank you, God. Thank you so much for caring about the smallest detail in my life's journey. There's nothing he's overlooked. He saw the right time. He saw the right aspect. I want somebody just to think on that and just meditate on that for a minute. Whatever God promised you, guess what? He's leading you on his perfect journey. You know, they always say, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It's easy looking in the mirror and saying what we should have done. But God knows what you need to do right now. Amen. So moving on to number 6. I know it's Wednesday. I'm going to be mindful of your time. I'm not going to preach a Sunday message. But number 6, great faith. So let me just recap these really quick so you understand. God said no faith, little faith, measure of faith, the gift of faith, strong in faith. And now we move down to great faith in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed. He's saying to those disciples, you know, the ones that he rebuked for no faith and little faith, and all the people that were with him that followed him around throughout Israel and in Jerusalem and in all that area. And he says, verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, that was a strong rebuke from Jesus, but it was an awesome compliment to this centurion. Because see, when we look at the Gospels, there's 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all written to someone specific. Matthew was specifically written to the Jews. So a lot of the things that we read about in Matthew specifically ties into things that the Jews needed to understand about the priesthood and about the lineage of Jesus and about knowing who God is. We see that we have Mark to the Romans and Luke to the Gentiles and John to whomsoever will. And every one of these Gospels had a specific people group that it was written to, and it was written in such a way under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to best minister to that group of people. But Matthew, this story in Matthew, to the Jews, and he's saying, I haven't found so much faith, no, not in Israel. But this Roman soldier, this centurion, this most despicable person in the Jewish mindset and Jewish culture, he has great faith. Because he understood my authority. Understand, you'll never have authority in Jesus until you can understand faith and the authority of God's leadership. And when you can submit to God's leadership in apostolic authority, that's when your faith can really take wings to see awesome things moved. Moving on to number 7 and the last point in this letter. Full of faith. And this refers to the book of Acts. When we see Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, understand why this is so important. And I don't ask to be Stephen by no measure. This was a man that was chosen out to wait on tables. He was going to help the widows because he was a good man. He had an honest, had a good report, and he was chosen to serve the body. And in doing so, he began to preach. And he began to preach a message to the Jews, laying out the authority and authenticity of who Jesus was, and trying to connect that and show that, he did. Connecting to how Jesus was their Messiah. And they didn't want to hear that. And they didn't like that. And sometimes you can share things with people and they don't like that. And they Paul being there, and they ran on Stephen. I mean, they were so mad, they began to bite Stephen. And Stephen ended up losing his life in this ordeal. But he said, God, don't lay this sin to their charge. That's full of faith. When you're being bit and gnashed upon and stoned to death, and you're going to say, hey, God, this really hurts, but don't lay it to them. But that's what God wants his church to be, full of faith, that when we're abused by the world, we can shine. And what happened to Stephen? His face shone like the face of an angel. They saw the glory of God because why? He was full of faith, letting Jesus out. Luke 18 gives us another connection to this. And it says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, so God was asked a question. He answers it and he poses this question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I often, as a child growing up, I laughed at that Brother Caskey. I laughed. Faith, of course there's going to be faith. But I'll tell you what, as I've grown and as I've seen our world, I've come to a place where, yeah, God, you are asking a powerful saying. Will there be faith when you come back? I pray to God that there will be. And as long as the church is here, there will be faith. When the church is called away, well, that's another message. But there are seven avenues of faith. No faith, little faith, measure of faith, the gift of faith, strong in faith, great faith, and full of faith. Now, I'm going to continue with this message, and we may go back and forth, and they can flash this list back up here. But I just want us to honestly ask ourselves tonight, where does Benjamin Smith stack up on this list? Where do you stack up on this list? It's not about a competition. It's not. It's not about, well, I'm full of faith and you're not. It's not that way. But I want to keep working till I get up to full of faith. It's a life journey between now and heaven. My faith should be growing. We all started a measure of faith at number 3, and we want to work through 4, 5, 6, and 7. But guess what? If I find myself slipping backwards into little faith or no faith, then I need to do some self-recollection, some house cleaning, if you will, and say, hey, God, I got a problem. My faith is dwindling, and we need to build it back up. So how do we build our faith? I'm glad you asked. There's three simple ways that we can build our faith. So, number one, by hearing the word. You're here tonight. You're watching online. You're hearing the word. Our faith, what comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whether we're hearing preaching, whether we're reading the word, whether we're praying the word, we can build up our faith by hearing and being a part of the word. Number two, we can build up our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So you can build up your faith by praying in the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit prays what we don't know ought, or what we don't know how to pray for. And then number three, we can grow our faith for asking or praying, asking, Lord, increase our faith. So three ways to grow our faith. But one, read the word and hear the word, pray in the Spirit, or simply ask, God, grow my faith. But then be ready for the journey of faith that will grow it. I'll be honest, the funnest and easiest is number two and number one, but they all go together. It's just like eating your fruits and vegetables. We may like one more than the other, but they all go together to give us a balanced diet and help make us nutritious and strong. And the church said, amen. Amen. So with that being said, I want to continue to grow on this ladder. And you know what? It's not to point fingers to say, oh, well, you're not here and you should be. It's not about that. We all have struggles. And let me tell you, being even full of faith doesn't make you immune to life's problems. Having faith, you still get sick. You still have problems. You know, Brother Demas will tell you, your car can still get smashed. You can be on the mission field and still get a brain tumor. And understand, just having faith and living for God is not an immunity card that means everything's going to go smooth and go easy. But it gives us the ability that through the storm, through the trial, through the testing, I have a hope. I have a lifeline that I can reach to, knowing that God has a plan for me. So I'm hoping that God will find faith in his house. Matthew 18 and 19 says, again, I say unto you, that if two shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now this is very important, and I don't want us to miss it, and I am getting ready to close a few more minutes. But don't let your agreement be lent to the world. Don't let your agreement be joined with doubt or negativity, but let it be joined with faith, because whatever I agree with, it shall be done. The power of agreement. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now there's some elders in here, and you may remember this. Some of you young people may have to get a history lesson after this. But how many here remember Sassafras? Remember Sassafras? They used to make a wonderful, refreshing drink from sassafras root called root beer. And you know, we no longer call it sassafras. Now it's called root beer because, well, unfortunately, sassafras tree is now endangered because it has become exploited. For years, it was used to make a beautiful, wonderful, refreshing summer drink, and even sometimes those in drink in the winter, root beer. But it was exploited for sin, and now, to make a danger, and just it's now used to make a dangerous, destructive drug called ecstasy. So with that being said, this one root, it's been exploited. It was once used for good medicinal and refreshing purposes. They used it for a lot of wonderful things, and you get it from the sassafras tree. But from that same root, that's something so good, something else was created that was so vile that brought death and destruction to so many. So I'm going to ask you this question. From the root of your life's challenge, we can choose to either make something refreshing or something destructive. So from the root that is, is you, what is going to come out of you? Will it be faith or doubt? Hope or despair? Life or death? Peace or fear? Truth or a lie? What are you going to let come out of the root of your life? Hear me, somebody. We all have a choice. But Joshua 24 and 15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers serve on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Understand, I'm asking you to choose this evening, Wednesday, July 6th. Choose what you're going to serve. Choose what's going to move you. Choose whether you're going to back up in faith or you're going to grow. Choose whether the world's going to influence you or choose whether you're going to influence the world. Choose if you're going to be impacted by life's challenges or you're going to use them to propel you to be a beacon. See, what I didn't say about the loss of our twins is I had a choice. There was a time when I was getting bitter and upset and angry, but then I chose to root out that root of bitterness and let God plant a beautiful root of hope and peace and healing and let him pour the balm of Gilead in that hurt. And I could take that same bitterness, that same hurt, that same destruction, that same death, and I could go to somebody else and I could minister and I could say, hey, God sees your situation. God sees your challenge. God sees your heartache. And I can't tell you how many people we've been able to pray for and see God heal their womb because I let God transform my root into something powerful. And so I'm asking us tonight, and we may have to go back and watch this message because I have so much I want to cover and I'm out of time. But understand the root of your life. God didn't let you go in that storm because he was some rude, angry, mean God going, ha-ha. But he was there because he wanted to show himself real in your life. And nothing moves God more than your faith. When the man sick of the palsy was healed, Jesus did not say, "You're forgiven for your faith. You're healed for your faith." But he looked up at those men that had broke open the roof and he said, "Their faith. Their faith. Their faith has made you whole." Hear me, somebody in Calvary Gospel. Hear me, somebody online. Dane County is hurting. Dane County is broken. Wisconsin is broken. The U.S. is broken. But guess what? I have a God who is able. I have a God who is willing. I have a God who loves them so much. And even if they don't have faith to see an apostolic world, I do. Because I know that God can move. And I know that through faith, God is going to see our city saved. We're going to see the 20,000+ soul revival that our pastor and our leadership has prophesied. We're going to see it come to pass because Jesus is coming very soon. Jesus is coming, and folks, we need to be ready. We need to check the roots of our life. Musicians, you can come. We need to check the roots of our life and be ready for God to move because He wants to move like never before. Time is short and God is moving. Stand with me all over the house. But I ask you tonight, will you get bitter or will you get healed? Will you get angry or will you get set free? Will you live in no faith, little faith, measure of faith, the gift of faith, strong in faith, great faith, or full of faith? Nobody can choose that. Nobody can answer that but you. But I'm here to tell you, there's so many miracles. There's so many stories I could share. And you know what? I felt in prayer, a lot of times I have the privilege to preach the message of faith before Brother Buster comes. And that just, I want you to understand, that's not what this was. This wasn't just routine. It's a blessing and favor because God's been good to me. But God's been good to you too. Even if it doesn't seem that way, God's been good. Don't believe the storm clouds that are out there. Look beyond the storm clouds. See that rainbow of hope. See that light. See that truth. I understand Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament. He wrote 14 books, one more than half of the New Testament. But yet he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was cast into prison. He was on an island alone. He bitten of a snake. The amount of sorrows or turmoil that Paul went through, we could write a book about it. And maybe you're going through life's challenges right now. But Paul said, "You know what? Life, you're not going to scare me, because nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Neither life, nor death, nor tribulation. Nothing's going to separate me." And hear me, whatever you're going through right now, nothing's going to separate you from the love of Jesus. But then he said this last thing in closing. "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." I know no one here wants to die. I'm not telling you to go out and die. But I want you to see the irony of what the world does. Hell tries to intimidate us by the challenges we face in life. And Paul looked at those challenges and he laughed. He said, "You know what? If I have the privilege to live, that's Christ. That's awesome. That's the hope of glory, Christ. God in me, that's wonderful. It's a blessing. But if I die, how much more a blessing?" You know what he did? He took the roar out of the lion. And I'm going to ask some of you, take the roar out of that lion roaring in your life. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't let your life, don't let your family be devoured by a fake, fearful roar. Understand, and I said I'm closing, I actually gently end, this is my last point. I understand the roar of a lion can be intimidating. They've used those decibel meters to track the roar of a lion. And they say when a lion roars on the African savanna or in Asia, it can be heard for up to 5 miles away. It's louder than a stadium. It's louder than a jet taking off. That's how loud the lion roars. But guess what? You can hear that lion and he can be miles and miles away. And you can get scared going, oh Lord, I hope that lion doesn't come get me. And he's 3 miles away going the other way. Don't be intimidated by life's challenges. Don't be intimidated by the storms of life. God has you there for such a time as this. Let Jesus out in your community. Let Jesus out in your work. Let him shine, church. Let him shine, and we are going to see an end time revival like never before. Let's find a place to pray all over the sanctuary, whether you want to come to the front, whether you want to pray where you're at, whether you want to pray in your living room, your home, your car, wherever you're watching us online. Let's pray and let Jesus speak to us tonight or today or whenever you're watching. Let Jesus speak to you. God bless you.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
goodness of God.
Amen. God's been good. I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. Continue to pray. Remember all those coming back from camp this week. Keep them in your prayers. And also remember our services on Sunday. Join us for service at 10 a.m. for our adult Bible class and for the Sunday school for the kids. And also join us at 11 o'clock for an awesome word for God. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Have a wonderful week. And continue to enjoy your Independence Weekend. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. They're going to sing one more time.